He's worked with some of Hollywood's biggest stars, such as Michael Douglas, Charlize Theron, Martin Sheen, Marlon Brando, and Robin Williams. His filmography includes The Fast and the Furious, North Country, The War of the Roses, and Rumblefish. Among the directors he's worked with, Francis Ford Coppola, Wes Craven, and John Badham. Doug Claiborne will be the special guest at this year's Northeastern Pennsylvania Film Festival to be held April 12th through the 14th at the Waverly Community House. I'm Larry Vojtko. During the festival, there will be screenings of independent films, a showcase of student films submitted to WVIA for adjudication, an award ceremony, and more. For a complete schedule and to obtain tickets, go to nepafilmfestival.com. The festival opens Friday evening at 7 p.m. with a presentation by Mr. Claiborne and a Q&A moderated by WVIA's Julie Sidoni. Featured that evening will be a screening of Doug Claiborne's recent film, The Rainbow Prince. When I spoke to Doug by phone, I asked him about this film.
My daughter's now 12, Maria, and she was about 5 years old when she asked the question, where are all the princesses that look like me?
Once upon a time, there were a king and queen who were very sad that they had no children.
Hey, Mom, I have an idea. What if the prince goes to sleep and the princess saves him?
That's a great idea, my sweet.
And what if the princess is brown, like me?
And my wife, Laura Napier, is a writer-director. She kind of looked at me and she said, there weren't any at that time. There were no brown princesses. So she said to Maria, well, we're going to have to write one. So they wrote the book, The Rainbow Prince. And from that book, we decided to make a movie, a short film, with the one line of, once upon a time, a brown princess saved a prince. And it took us 5 or 6 years to raise the money and actually make the movie. That was the start of it, was answering my daughter's question. Where are all the princesses that look like me?
My dear people, thank you for coming to this joyous celebration for our son, Rainbow. One day, Rainbow will be the leader of this kingdom. And we shall do our best to teach him to follow love, truth, acceptance, and justice for all.
And the whole idea was to be able to get something into classrooms and get it to kids. And we did it as a family project. My wife's a writer-director. They wrote the book. Then Laura wrote the screenplay. And then Maria, of course, was the one we did the movie for. And she consulted all the way from the script to the costume to the wardrobe. She was there every day of the shoot.
It's an untraditional fairy tale in its story, because we have a prince and a princess. They fall in love. There's obviously some conflict and some other issues, but you cover a wide range of themes in the story. Could you give us just a little encapsulation of what the narrative is about?
Well, the whole idea was to be able to kind of flip the normal narrative. So, again, once upon a time, a brown princess saves a prince. That's the idea, and we wanted to have new models for kids. So everything is flipped. The casting is flipped. We ended up with not the normal hiring process. We were looking for people that were from all colors, all races, all different variety of folks. It wasn't the norm. Oh, look for somebody that has a huge amount of experience.
So you're taking this into schools?
Yeah, that was the whole idea, was to make it so we could go into classrooms. We wanted kids to be able to see it together. It was like a K-6 audience. And I think it's shown to about, 250,000 kids at this point, Philly, New York, New Orleans, at the Museum of Modern Art in New Orleans. I think we did a screening in Tulsa, Oklahoma as well. So it's been a limited audience at this point, and at this point, we're still looking for a distributor for the film to get it out in a wider audience. The real idea is to give kids of all colors a different sense about who they are and, give them other choices. One of the stories I tell about making the movie was one of the actors came to me during the making of the film. We were at Arcadia University during the pandemic. We stayed there for 2 weeks making the film. And she was in tears saying, I so wish that this movie could have been around when I was a kid, to have this to look at. So, you know, it's interesting because I'm not a person of color, but not having those models to go by when you're a kid seems to be a real tragedy. So hopefully we're filling a little bit of that void with this film. One of my big moments in making the movie was that conversation.
Now, he will stay awake for 21 years, at which point he will fall into a deep sleep, only to be awakened by his true love, who will help him spread love throughout the world. For love needs to shine in the world to carry on. And love, like freedom, must be won and earned every generation.
A couple of visual things struck me about watching the film. And this whole concept of a rainbow is carried throughout the film through the use of color. And you touched on that in the casting of this film. The color palette is so vibrant that I couldn't help but be reminded of the classic Technicolor films of the past.
Well, you just caught right onto it because we wanted it to have a classic fairy tale look. It was shot really in an Academy format, so that it would take you back to the early Disney films and that. And that color palette was would use throughout the movie, with the only exception being the credits. So we wanted it to have that classic sense, and hopefully we achieved that. Sounds like you picked up on it easily.
Yeah. In fact, there's one little segment, it's a traveling scene where they're just moving in the carriage, and it almost feels like you're in Oz a little bit because there's these little creatures that pop up here or there. It's kind of a fun little section. It's a segment that lasts a few seconds, but, you know, every second counts when you're trying to tell the story and make an impression and take somebody into a different world. And that importance of color to your narrative extends into skin tones of the characters. The skin of the Rainbow Prince's birth mother appeared to be like violet blue, and the rainbow, and Rainbow himself, the prince is named Rainbow, takes on a greenish hue when the presence of that the beguiling and treacherous Circa, who is wielding her web around the Rainbow Prince. That was an interesting choice to be made on the part of the filmmakers.
I think the idea that Rainbow changes colors with his feelings was an interesting idea in this particular fairy tale. And I love that about the film, that he changes colors with his feelings. It seems that we all sometimes change our colors with our feelings. That was one of the pieces of the narrative.
And the villain is the White Wizard. You know, the White Wizard, the absence of color. But oftentimes white is, it depicts purity. But it's the opposite here.
Yeah, because as you know, black is usually the, as you say, the negative, or the bad guys are dressed in black, and then it's just the opposite in this movie where we're flipping the normal narrative. So you're absolutely right.
I'd like to move on to a little bit, talk a little bit about your career, if you don't mind. Your filmography as a producer is wide-ranging as it pertains to genre. There are action movies like The Fast and the Furious and Money Train, and comedies like Ernest Saves Christmas and Delirious, sports movies like D2, The Mighty Ducks and Mr. Baseball, animal adventures such as Duma and The Black Stallion Returns, even social justice dramas like North Country and a black comedy satire like The War of the Roses. So was this variety in your projects by design or dictated by fate?
No, I don't think from my standpoint, it wasn't dictated by fate. You know, I teach a producing class at Temple University, and I tell my students there's only for me, there's only two reasons to make a film. It's either passion or people. And that's kind of the way I've chosen projects over the years. I either have to love the project or love the people. So that's a big part of it. It's about your choice of projects, and that at the end of the day, you want to be proud of the projects that you make, because in my case, I've always wanted to make a difference. So if you go through those projects, a couple of them are made for my kids. This one was made for Maria and for her benefit. And I have two kids in L.A. Fast and Furious was made for my son. And Ernest Saves Christmas was made for my oldest daughter.
Well, you talked about doing projects because of people and loving people. And perhaps that leads to this question about your relationship with Francis Ford Coppola. You've worked with him a number of times, including on Apocalypse Now and Rumblefish and Peggy Sue Got Married, Jack. So there's a trend there. How did you come to work with Coppola, and what drew you back to work with him again and again?
Well, I'm going to talk about that when I come up to give a little talk at the film festival, but that's kind of goes back to what started you. I didn't know anything about filmmaking, but I met Francis when I was doing City Magazine in San Francisco. And he went off to make Apocalypse Now in 76, and I volunteered to work on the movie just to see if the movie business was something I was interested in. And one thing led to another, and I worked 3.5 years on the movie, on Apocalypse Now, and that's what got me started in the business. So that relationship continues to today.
You mentioned that the Fast and the Furious, you got involved with that project for your son's sake, and you were executive producer on that film. That's the first installment of that series with Vin Diesel and Paul Walker. Now, at the time, did you think it might spur that oft-sought and always coveted Holy Grail in Hollywood, the movie franchise?
No, we certainly didn't. I got involved in that picture because of Rob Cohen, the director. And Rob and I had done a couple of movies together before that. And he had asked me to do Serpent in the Rainbow. He was running a company. And another movie prior to that, Light of Day, with Paul Schrader. So we had a relationship. This is also what filmmaking is about. And Rob came to me because the producer he normally worked with was not available and asked me if I would do the movie with him. So that's how I got started on that. And then to answer your question, did we know Fast and Furious was going to be what it ended up being? Not a clue. The first time I got an indication it was going to be a hit was when we were off in, I think it was Kansas City, test screenings, research screenings. And we got finished with the screening, did our test. It was a great test, and we went out into the parking lot to get in the car to go back to the plane, to go back to L.A., and all these Rice Rocket cars were all over the parking lot, and they were screaming and driving like crazy. This just the whole parking lot was completely mad, and we thought, oh, my God, this could be big. So we had some indication after that test screening that the movie could have a great first weekend, and I think the first weekend it did what we spent on the budget. So yeah, that was our first indication.
We hit the room, me and my crew, and it was cool until we bumped into you. Now it's been years, but there you were like a Mustang.
So was your son pleased?
He was. I think he had his 16th birthday party at a screening at Universal and invited all his friends, so he was very pleased, yeah.
Yeah, who wouldn't? What guy wouldn't? You began your film career. Well, you said that you were involved with Apocalypse Now very early on, and I think you were doing that work without pay just to see if you liked film. But it was, you know, in the production area of that project. So you spent your film career in the production part of the industry, but also you've been an assistant director on several films. Did you ever consider taking full control of a film as both director and producer?
Over the years, I've been offered a couple of pictures to direct, but, you know, I've always felt like my talent was with people, and I always felt like my talent was working with directors to bring their vision to the screen. Now, I'm a painter, and I'm a poet, so I have my opportunities to have my vision when I pick up a piece of watercolor paper and I start from scratch to do a painting, or when I sit to write a poem. But I've always felt like my real talent was bringing a director's vision to the screen. And that's what Francis Coppola taught me, was I want to teach you to be a director's assistant director and a director's producer. So that's where I got my inspiration. That's why I loved Francis and loved working with him, because I could see his passion for the project. And, you know, that's where I get my passion, is from that love of working with family, working with people, and working for the love of the project. It's never been about the money.
You know, it occurred to me that for the average film consumer like myself, a movie lover, that we don't quite understand that difference between what a producer does on a film and what a director does on the film, and how those are differentiated, and how they come together to actually produce what we see on the screen. Can you tell us a little bit more about the various functions or duties, or, you know, what is the how would you define producer as opposed to director and vice versa?
I like to tell my students that a producer is about, if you don't get up in the morning and make a phone call, send an email, communicate with somebody, nothing's going to happen on a film that you're involved in. Producer works from the start to the finish. A director, not necessarily start to finish, because a producer can bring a director onto the show. But a director is really involved in the creative process all the way through, and particularly with the actors. And the director is usually the one that has the overall vision for the movie. Francis always directed movies as a conductor. And I've always seen directors as conductors of an orchestra. The crew and the cast and that is an orchestra. And the director is the conductor of the orchestra. As a producer, you're looking over the shoulder to make sure it all comes together. But the director is the conductor.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've worked in the film industry for over 40 years. How has the movie making business changed over that time?
Wow.
And has it evolved as a place where a creative person can find an outlet?
The movie business has changed extraordinarily, I think. I think you can always find a creative outlet. I hope people see this little 35-minute movie as a creative outlet. And that we tried to do something artistic and tried to also say something with the movie as well. So how has the business changed? Extraordinarily. I mean, we can now see movies streamed on all kinds of different networks. We can see them on our phones. We can see them. We can talk on the phone remotely. It used to be I couldn't be on the set all day or all night because I had no communication. I'd have to go to work the next day in the office. So, you know, almost in every way, it seems like to me the business has changed, except for one, and that is that you still make a movie, and the movies that you really want to see, and this is in my opinion, move people. The movies I want to go to are the movies that move me emotionally. And I think that's where it hasn't changed. The script has to be something that you read and you feel moved by, emotionally moved from one place to another. So that's what I feel like has not changed. It's all about telling stories that moves people.
Children, beautiful and strong.
We are the children, and this is our song.
We shall be loving, we shall be kind, we shall work hard and be of strong mind. We are the children.
Doug Claiborne, film producer, who will be the special guest at this year's Northeastern Pennsylvania Film Festival, to be held April 12th through the 14th at the Waverly Community House. Mr. Claiborne's appearance opens the festival during a special event Friday evening beginning at 7 p.m., preceded at 6 by a reception. WVIA's Julie Sidoni will facilitate a talkback with the filmmaker during the event, which includes a screening of his latest film, The Rainbow Prince. For tickets and a full schedule of events, go to nepafilmfestival.com. nepafilmfestival.com. For WVIA's Art Scene, I'm Larry Voitko.
One another, we are the children, with goodness we stand. We are the children, and this is